And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
I think we got it this time. You know, I'm hearing like an echo. It's my only complaint so far. So I'm hearing a bit of an echo, and I don't know where it's coming from. Hang on. Maybe I'm pushing the cans too much. I don't know about that. Yeah. I don't know. I'll live with it. I'll figure it out at some point. Yes, we're pushing a hardware encode this week, so there shouldn't be any shuttering or anything. We learned from our mistakes. Hopefully we learned from our mistakes. Welcome to Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood. You know, I spent most of the day, I was going to start gathering news earlier in the day, and I realized I should be doing this all week long, but I generally don't. I'm going to have to correct that. So I was going to start gathering news and doing some other stuff, but I got caught into waiting for President Trump's speech in at Waco. We were watching, was it RBS? RBS? I think it's RBS something on Rumble. It seemed to be an interesting network that they got their stuff together. You know, whenever I watch stuff, and the producer and I actually, we sit here and we watch stuff on Rumble, and we pick apart the tech stuff. We're like, the lighting needs to be better. This needs to be off to the left. They need to do this. They need to do that. Because we like toys. It's really, there's some guys, they come on with a webcam, and they fly, and they do their thing, and they do it like nobody else can, and it's amazing, and it's, you know, and it's great. I, on the other hand, come out and do my thing, but I need stuff. I need lights. I need a high end camera. I need audio. I need these things. You know, it's real funny. The producer told me, and this was like a couple months ago. She mentioned to me. I woke up in the middle of the night, or I was having a dream, and all she could hear me say was toys, 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 which is really funny because I do like my toys. So we're listening to President Trump's speech, and he once again, he knocked it out of the ballpark, considering it was the first speech of 2023. He had obviously been out on the road for 2 years prior, so. No big deal. It was like the 90-something speech that he had given every Saturday. See, it's every well, obviously with the exception of going forth from January. But the CCAP speech kind of made up for all that, not for nothing. But, yeah, great speech. He's just enthralling. The dude shows up on an airplane. They roll the plane right up to the stage. He gets out of the plane. It's, yeah, come on. I mean, the only thing cooler would be if he actually flew the plane himself. You should talk to Bruce Dickinson about that, I suppose. I'm really looking forward to this election cycle. I was kind of surprised that he was talking about DeSantis, you know, and it reminded me of that scene out of Goodfellas, you know, with the dude had just gotten out of prison and he's talking to Joe Pesci's character, you know, go get your shine box, you know. I was starting to get a little kind of vibe of that off of it. And I was like, holy smokes. You know, I was not expecting him to be that aggressive in that regard. But I mean, you know, fuck it. If the guy's not going to differentiate himself, then screw it. You know what I mean? So yeah, it was a really good speech. He's a fun listen. I would have to assume that people even who are like middle of the road, you know, who aren't on the Trump train, as they say, would have to find his speeches amusing at the very least, you know, certainly not the liberals, you know. But you know, some of those middle of the road people. I am drinking Barg's root beer, not diet regular. Fell off the wagon, fell off the soda wagon. They're going to come and they're going to take a toe or two away from me. That's when I'll stop my soda. No, I really have to stop. April's going to be like a cleanup month for me because I got to go see my doctor in May. So, hey. I'm just glad to have this this rig up and running properly. A couple of things had occurred to me in regards to the way we used to run it, and certain settings weren't ticked off, and now they are, and seem to be better. The processor seems to be happier. Everybody seems to be a little bit happier. We worked pretty hard to get my tablet. I can now put my tablet on the screen, either by itself or with me, which is really cool because I can control the tablet and the browser and everything from the tablet itself. OBS itself, which is the software we're using for streaming, you can do that kind of thing, but it has certain limitations that I weren't comfortable with. I'm very gassy. I had chili dogs for dinner. It was Qadim beef and pork and Hormel chili. I know it's so bad. Hormel chili, no beans, and some sort of canned liquid cheese. Yes. Canned liquid cheese. Who'd have thunk it, huh? And I feel okay so far. No pains in the gut. I also had it last night for dinner, so. Like I said, April's going to be like cleanup. I'm going to be drinking a lot of water and eating a lot of salads. That's the plan. That's the plan for April, but we'll see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else terribly exciting going on in my life. Nothing. Like I said, we spent a fair amount of time working on the rig this week and figuring out certain things. I do hear an echo. It's a slight echo, and I'm wondering, it's not the reverb. It's not that. I don't know what it is. I'm not quite sure what it is. It's really weird. It's kind of strange. Let me see something. I'm going to take my glasses off. Okay. Because I can't read the tablet with them anyway. So. Let's see if it's a better seal on the headphones. Now, sometimes when you got your glasses on, you get a little coming out the sides there. Yeah, I think that might have been it. That and my ears are kind of weird. I have to clean them out like every too much information, I realize. But real frequently, because this house is it's an older, like this thing was built in like 1889. It's got the old horsehair plaster, and you'll go and you'll dust something and you'll come back and 15 minutes later there'll be more dust. It's like living in China. It's horrible. So yeah, I wind up getting a lot of stuff in my ear, and you know, my doc keeps telling me not to use Q-tips, but I was raised using Q-tips, and you say I'm just gonna go around the edge, and you wind up pushing, and that's not good. So, but that's not what it sounds like. It sounds like, I don't know what it sounds like. It's not the fact that there's two sound sources. Let me look at this for a second, because there aren't two sound sources in this scene. I don't know. I can't really tell. So anyway, what I wanted to talk about this week, as far as news goes, is I've been interested in the Twitter files, so-called Twitter files. This is a lot of info that was released once Musk started to take over. They've been coming out pretty consistently. Let me see. Hang that. You know, I might as well. Let me see. Let me open this up. I could put this over here. I can't see anything. Yeah, there it is. Yep. Right. Do that. And gotta open it. And this is from a stop. There it is. Oh, look at that. How cool is that? Stop communism. Or excuse me, stopsocialism.com. And the Twitter files part 1 to 15. I think that I'm not quite sure whether there are more recent updates. This is as of 1/19/23. There may or may not be, but I was interested in at least talking about this because I know some of my loyal listeners might not be aware. I know most of you are, at least a good number of you are, because oftentimes people tell me about stuff, and I'm like, oh, okay, I could do that if you want. I can make that happen. Let me see. I'm going to lower that a little bit. Yeah, maybe a little too hot coming in there. All right, that's better. Anyway, so I've just added stopsocialism.com. Discussion and summarization includes all files released to date. It's parts 1 to 12. All original information was taken from journalists' Twitter feeds as provided by hyperlinks in the main body of text. Okay, so the introduction to this. Elon Musk, after taking control of Twitter and firing most of its upper-level management and many of its rank-and-file employees, promised to release internal documentation that illustrated the degree to which Twitter had shadow banned and censored content from conservative-leaning sources. Now, that had been something that had been talked about amongst conservatives on Twitter for the longest time. I mean, long, 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 long time. And let me see if I could make... Let's see this one. Get me in. Oh, there I am. Hello. Hi there. So, let me see. Maybe move the mic a little bit this way. Still working on positioning. Of course, usually there's like tape on the floor. I'm kidding. Let me just see if I can center myself there. There I am. Okay. So, there had been talk in regards to shadow banning and censoring amongst conservatives on Twitter for like, had to be at least a year, maybe more, during those purges that took place after January 6th. I forget, there was, there was a series of purges. I don't always remember what triggered them, mainly because I take a lot of drugs, both illegal. Well, actually, everything's legal now. The weed is even legal. So I find I don't remember things as well as I used to, which is really sad. I used to be sharp as a tack. I had to watch Hocus Pocus 2 like 3 times in order to get to the end. that's how stoned I was each time. The first and second time I watched it, I was like, and then I finally watched it like the third time, and I was like, oh, okay, it seems like a Walgreens commercial. Anyway, my memory is not what it used to be due to drugs. I'll just pick up on this so you can see it as I'm reading it. To date, and this is to 12/22, 10 dumps have been released by journalist Matt Taibbi, Taibbi. I never get that right. Barry Weiss, Michael Schellenberger, Lee Fang, David Zwig, Alex Bernstein, and various others. Their various associates, okay, after heavy analysis of documents provided by Musk and his inner circle. It is important to note that these files are not open to the public other than what the journalists and authors decide to share, and that Musk is vetting the files before passing them along to these journalists. Each of the below hyperlinks takes you directly to the official Twitter thread corresponding to the damp. We're not going to do that because I don't think I'm going to need to. I think pretty much all the information in a general sense is going to be available before I even need to do that. So each of the below hyperlinks takes you directly to the official thread corresponding to the data dump in question with the author's name and general topic highlighted in bold. Each bullet point is a direct quotation from the author or a consolidated quotation. Interesting. Editorial discretion was utilized to cut out extraneous or tangential information and keep the focus on any more extraordinary findings. So these are quick bullets. What do we got? As shown in part 1 and 7, Twitter, primarily at the FBI and intelligence community's urgings, systematically suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story. Initially, Twitter was resistant to the FBI's probes and requests for the information. However, over time, the FBI became deeply embedded within Twitter in terms of a revolving door of personnel, the granting of top-secret security clearances to Twitter executives, and the opening of a myriad of direct communication lines in which the FBI and other intelligence agencies could literally influence Twitter's censorship activities. Central to this effort was the former FBI General Counsel James Baker, a well-connected and powerful member of the intelligence community who until very recently was deputy counsel for Twitter. Reminds me somewhat of Operation Mockingbird, which was the CIA's embedding of personnel into various publications, print publications at the time, in hopes that someday they would have some sort of editorial control and be able to control the narrative of said papers. And you could arguably say that that was successful and has been successful, quite frankly. But very similar to that here. I got a can of Dr. Pepper stashed on the side too. Shh, quiet. So, anyway, as shown in six parts, as shown in parts 6 and 8, the aforementioned synergies with the FBI intelligence community and Department of Defense have been endemic within Twitter, endemic within Twitter, as well as other social media companies. I care about the planet. That's my new distraction thing. Quiet. So far as to call Twitter an FBI subsidiary. And the published evidence more than substantiates his claim. Moreover, Twitter has been heavily supporting the U.S. military's covert operations overseas, creating AI-generated deepfakes, developing false propaganda against foreign regimes, and whitelisting fake accounts operated by the intelligence community to spread disinformation and promote psychological influence operations, all in order to artificially install popular support for foreign policy decisions, whether they be interventionist, I can see the words, or oriented around retrenchment. As shown in parts 2 and 5, Twitter systematically censored free speech and blacklisted conservative contrarian voices, including Dr. J. Patracha, Dan Bonagino, Charlie Kirk, Kaylee McCaney, the popular Libs of TikTok account, President Donald Trump. Mechanisms for doing so included building large blacklists, preventing disfavored tweets from trending, limiting visibility of entire accounts and trending topics, blocking search results, limiting the scope of a particular tweet's discoverability, among other insidious tactics. As shown in parts 3 and 5, which focus mainly upon the decision to ban Trump's account, the political ideologies of Twitter employees and executives played a substantial role in the decision-making. In 2018, 2020, and 2022, 96, 98, and 99% of Twitter staff political donations went to Democrats, respectively. Wow. The ultimate decision to ban Trump was based on no specific policy violation. In fact, many of Twitter's employees responsible for determining these policy violations clearly indicated no such violations occurred. Moreover, to truly illustrate the blatant hypocrisy of this move, Twitter did not deplatform other world leaders who might much more clearly incite their populations to violence, including leaders from Nigeria, Ethiopia, India, Iran, and Malaysia. In a particular telling excoriation, of Twitter's decision, jailed Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny criticized the ban as an unacceptable act of censorship. Navalny would know, considering he has been one of the most heavily prosecuted advocates of free speech in the world, and is currently serving out a 10-year sentence in a brutal Russian gulag. As shown in part 9, the FBI, the FBI was hardly the only government agency actively weaponizing Twitter to serve governmental interest. The CIA, Department of Defense, and other security, military, and intelligence task force consistently used their clout to censor information deemed adverse to their goals. As shown in part 10, Twitter, often after government coercion, suppressed any information that went against the established COVID-19 narrative, including posts and research by leading experts in their fields. Twitter and the CDC decided what the science entailed. For anyone who does not understand what science is at a fundamental level, it means of a discerning truth from gathered evidence via the scientific method. What it decidedly is not is a consensus-based ideology pushed and promoted by ministries of truth that actively censor dissenting viewpoints. In fact, the whole point of science is to welcome alternative research and debate. Parts 11 and 12 show how the intelligence community became so intertwined with Twitter, beginning with the aftermath of the 2016 election, despite the outcry from the left that Russian interference and disinformation via social media had led to President Trump's victory. Twitter found little evidence in support of this. Still, threats from politicians and intelligence agencies, who often threatened to go directly to major media outlets and bypass Twitter, forced Twitter to enter the content moderation game. They quickly became a subsidiary of the U.S. government, specifically the national security apparatus. Twitter was even directly paid over $3 million by the FBI for its services. Wow. Part 13 details how former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb and current Pfizer board member Scott Gottlieb used to suppress speech that he determined adverse to his own interests. Part 14 discusses how Russiagate, universally proclaimed by the left as the primary reason Trump was unfit for office, and the basis for their investigation, was a complete hoax, and that the Democratic congressmen knew this. Still, they pressured Twitter to push the false narrative among many other sources. Part 15 discusses how the pharmaceutical industry, including the vaccine makers, used social media, including Twitter, to suppress any speech against vaccine policy, labeling it as misinformation, shadow banning accounts, and removing content. So, for a section by section, see below for a section by section commentary. Okay, just a sec. Yeah, I want to wet my whistle. Yeah, pretty frightening. I'm not going to go into all of this, but I am interested in Tai B. I care about the planet. All right. Anyway, part one, laptop, Hunter Biden laptop suppression story. Now, I got to, before I get into this, this was right before the general election that I believe that the time frame for this suppression of this story. I think it was the New York Post story that got a lot of people, my chili dogs, got a lot of people banned and a lot of accounts closed down. Which is sad. You know, like I said, I have not lost my, I guess I wasn't doing something right. It's the only thing I'm left with. Because I still have my Twitter account. It's like intact. I was just over there the other day, as a matter of fact, looking around. Which I don't do as often as I used to. I think, as I've said, in the last couple of months, I'm more focused on Getter because it's just a better ratio, quite frankly, of people that are following versus people who are following me. I feel it's a more of attentive audience, an interested audience than Twitter has ever proved to be, quite frankly. Just as this is, I guess I forgot to mention again, this is our second outing on Rumble. Of course, the audio podcast will always be available at lfmidwood.com. It's lfmidwood.com. But we're doing a video, live video, and video archiving over at Rumble. And I'm finding the Rumble audience to be a lot more attentive and curious than the Facebook audience ever was. I mean, I had my shows up on Facebook for quite some time, and it took a long time to garner any sort of views because I was, so down, I guess, given my subject matter. I was really rather pushed farther down, do it with the algorithm. And not for nothing, I'm probably very lucky that I didn't wind up getting banned given my content. the producer is going to say, you weren't looking at the camera. I have to get loose to looking at the camera again. Hi. Hello. Hi. I just, you know, when you do a radio show or what is particular, you know, an audio show, you don't. I don't have a habit of looking up at the camera. So it's kind of almost like a muscle memory thing that I have to develop again. I do realize that the camera is there though. Hi. Hi. I don't know. I guess I must have done something wrong because my Twitter account is intact. And, you know, what I really found funny about Getter, and this is one of the things that really got me still to scratch my head about Getter, is, you know, they are offering, I think one of the features they rolled out like last year or mid last year, I think it was you can hook your Getter account to your Twitter account to make it easy to share the Twitter stuff on Getter. And I knew for a fact that a lot of Getter's audience, you know, the demographic that was using Getter were, for lack of a better term, refugees from Twitter. So it didn't make sense to me that they would want to have anything to do with Twitter once they were, their accounts were banned and closed. So what good would that feature do to them? You know, and that was what the engine that was driving the increase in Getter population, at least from my perspective, from what I saw and what I noticed. So, interesting. So let me read about, let's talk about what was in the, and you can see as I scroll along, by 2020, requests from connected actors to delete tweets were routine. One executive would write to another, move to review from the Biden team. They would reply back, handled. Celebrities and unknowns alike could be removed or reviewed at the behest of a political party. The system wasn't balanced. It was based on contacts because Twitter was and is overwhelmingly staffed by people of one political orientation. There were more channels, more ways to complain, open to the left, meaning Democrats, than the right. Okay. On October 14, 2020, the New York Post published Biden's secret emails, an expose based on the contents of the Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop. Twitter took extraordinary steps to suppress the story, removing links and posting warnings that it may be unsafe. Unsafe. They even blocked its transmission via direct message, a tool hetero reserved for extreme cases. Like an example would be child pornography. It's really interesting. Anybody who isn't familiar with the laptop story by now, I don't know where you've been living. The basic premise of the story is that there was a problem with the laptop, so Hunter Biden brought it into an app. I guess it was an Apple laptop, and he brought it into a repair place out. I guess wherever his crack house was, and he never claimed it. He never went back to pick it up. And the dude had repaired and fixed it. So after a certain amount of time, the laptop became the property of the person of the shop where it was left. And that guy contacted media and various other sources, showing them and, you know, claiming and being able to prove content. I love Barks Root Beer. Is there caffeine in here? Doesn't say no caffeine, does it? Been on a caffeine kick lately. Yeah, I think there is. I think this is the other one. The other one doesn't have caffeine. A&W. Anyway, big root beer. I'm a root beer connoisseur. I used to make my aunt drive me around so I could find Barks Root Beer on tap at certain restaurants in Rhode Island. You know, the States, you could like pretty much 45 minutes and you can get everywhere, you know. But yeah, she used to do that for me, actually. No ice. Anyway. Well, let's see. Okay, White House spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany was locked out of her account for tweeting about the story, prompting a furious letter from the Trump campaign staffer Mike Hahn, who seethed, at least pretended to care, for the next 20 days. The decision was made at the highest level of the company, but without knowledge of CEO Jack Dorsey, with the former head of legal, policy, and trust, Vijaya Gad, playing a key role. They just freelanced it, is how one former employee characterized the decision. Hacking was the excuse, but within a few hours, pretty much everyone realized that wasn't going to hold, but no one had the guts to reverse it. By this point, everyone knew this was fucked, said one former employee, but response was essentially to err on the side of continuing to err. It's excellent. Former VP of Global Comms, Brandon Borman, asked, "Can we truthfully claim that this is part of the policy?" To which former Deputy General Counsel Jim Baker again seemed to advise staying the non-course because caution is warranted. A fundamental problem with tech companies, and content moderation. Many people in charge of speech care or know or care little about speech, which is really kind of interesting, don't you think? And have to be told the basics by outsiders to it. In one humorous exchange on day one, Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna reached out to Gad to gently suggest she hop on the phone to talk about the backlash re-speech. Khanna was the only Democratic official I could find in the files who expressed concern. Gad's replies quickly, immediately diving into the weeds of Twitter policy, unaware Khan is more worried about the a Bill of Rights. Imagine that. Khanna tries to reroute the conversation to the First Amendment, mention of which is generally hard to find in the files. The First Amendment isn't absolute. Szabo's letter contains chilling passages relaying Democratic lawmakers' attitudes. They want more moderation. As far as the Bill of Rights, it is not absolute. I'm going to stop for a second there. Yeah, well, that's the end of part one anyway. At least a synopsis of part one. Well, that's insane. That's 100% insane. You know, these companies, media companies in general, tech companies in general, you know, they don't, and this goes like for Facebook as well. They should be treated like any other press. If that's what they're going to do, if they're going to kind of engage in opinion pieces, and quote unquote jack-fecking, fact checking, then they're stepping over a line. You know, they're not providing, if they can't provide equal and balanced coverage of a subject or a topic, then they shouldn't be covering. They shouldn't be allowed to cover it at all. I mean, it's just that simple. It's almost the idea of, I guess it's like the fairness doctrine used to be with the FCC. Like, I remember being a kid in coming home from school and watching either PIX or NEW. It was generally more PIX, where, well, to what seemed like to an 8-year-old, that old dude would come on and he'd start reading stuff, and it would be like a whole like minute, 2 minutes, and you'd be like waiting for your cartoons to come back on or something, you know, and you'd be like, what's this dude talking about? And, you know, only as I reached adulthood, and that could be argued as if I've ever really actually done that. But chronologically speaking, I've come to understand that was the fairness doctrine at work. That was the opposition being able to voice its opinion in a public forum, you know, with broadcast time, and it was FCC mandated. Now, I'm not a big fan of government mandated anything, even as far as the vaccinations went. I voluntarily, you know, got vaxxed because of the situation that I was living in, and I was concerned about the people around me, not so much myself. And I may or may not come to regret that decision. But as it stands, if you want to do something voluntarily, then, well, that's your business. But I don't believe the government should force anyone to do anything, particularly take a medicine that they don't want that kind of really, never really made sense to me to begin with. I think if you go back over the history of my show, you'll not hear me say once. I was kind of on the fence of about the effectiveness of said said vaccines, but I don't ever recall. And yeah, it's true. I've done a lot of drugs, but you know, I remember something like that because I do remember being on the fence for a very long time about it. And I just make that as, you know, as an example of something, a very, you know, a very prominent example of something that the government shouldn't allow, you know, shouldn't force people to do. You know, the fact that, you know, I remember when Jack Dorsey first started to do interviews about the whole New York Post story situation, because it was painfully apparent what was going on to everyone, to the point where I even know liberals who were like really kind of uncomfortable with the way that had happened, as far as you know, Twitter deciding to do what they did in the way that they did. Now, you know, we understand that there were outside forces, obviously, but by the same token, you know, they didn't, you know, what legal ground did Twitter have to stand on? I have to wonder. It reminds me of, you know, going back, I guess, I'm not even sure how long ago this was, but let me look at the camera a little bit. When AT&T voluntarily gave over a lot of its subscriber information and a lot of what was done, you know, they allowed the government to put a black box on their data lines so that they were actually able to use, I guess, whatever the newest version of Carnivore is super old. Carnivore is like 10 years old. So whatever Carnivore's, descendant wound up being, you know, and that being the program, computer program, it's actually hardware. But it runs software, that was enabling the government to eavesdrop on phone calls of citizens, of U.S. citizens, and then redacting, quote unquote, redacting that information, as long as it didn't pertain to terrorism or something along those lines. AT&T did it without, they didn't even blink. They said, here you go. You know, so it's not like there isn't precedent, for these companies who is Twitter a utility? I mean, you know, that's ultimately, I guess that's always been a big question. Is the internet a utility? It's certainly treated like a utility by the government to a certain degree. So you have to kind of wonder, you know, what kind of pressure these companies are put under, particularly when there's, you know, very much like financial. As far as banking goes, there's a lot of that revolving door of employees going from private sector banking into government financing, regulation, and back and forth. That obviously indicates that it also happens in the tech field. You know, it's disheartening. It's disheartening, you know, and like I said, there are, you know, is it easy for me to say that there are censorship, you know, censor free platforms out there? You know, Rumble would appear to be reasonably so. Getter would appear to be reasonably so. Now that the light has been shown on Twitter, you have to wonder with Musk around if there's going to wind up being a new era of disinfectants, unlike being the best disinfectant, transparency, because that's really the big word, transparency. You know, people aren't stupid. You know, once the government becomes involved, it's a whole different ball of wax. You know, that being said, I don't know going forward. You know, I look at, like, I'm a boomer. You know, I was born in 70, and I know, you know, I had fear for the millennials for a long time, but there's a fair amount of libertarian and even conservative millennials out there, even on Rumble, that I frequent on a regular basis. So I feel, you know, a little bit better. I don't know, because, you know, at least the millennials kind of, having been the children, perhaps overindulged children of boomers. They're one generation removed from a generation that had to kind of teach itself tech. That tech, we didn't have this tech when we were kids. Although, you know, I say again, we had a Commodore 64 and a forums account. What was the, wasn't a AOL that came much later. I can't remember what it was. Source. I can't remember, but they had a forums thing. It was basically, H&R Block's, CompuServe. It was, H&R Block's, their mainframe and all that, because, you know, tax seasons only comes once a year, as most of us know. So they were forums that were organized into what would very similar to like what would be like news groups, and of course news groups were always available if you had a modem and whatnot, you know. And we had a modem right away. We just always know. My father was like, "Yeah, this is no playing with BASIC on this thing and playing stupid games is now. We need to get a modem, son." So I was like, "Okay, Dad." And, you know, we're in contact with the outside world, like, real, real soon. So, you know, pre-internet, for sure, pre-internet. Pre-Windows, way pre-Windows. I remember playing, just text games with my friends. After school, we'd all come over to my house, and we'd play, like, what were just, you know, games that consisted of just text. And you'd make different decisions, and based upon the decision you made, you'd get different text, you know? Good stuff. Yeah, last one I played was they had done a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy version. And I could never get past that door. That's all I'm going to say. Either you know or you don't. I could never get past that door. So, as a child, I was already kind of moving into that age where I had the tech. But there was a point where it wasn't there, and then it was. The millennials have always had it. And is it Gen Z? Gen Z, I'm a little concerned. I'm not quite sure that they give a hoot about anything but being able to claim that they're trans. You know, I don't, and to stick up for all sorts of genders that don't exist. I think they're kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater in regards to what they're using the technology for. And they have this like righteous indignation, it seems, you know, like if I don't wear a rainbow shirt. You know, I think there's, I didn't pull any news this week, but I know that there's two brothers in the NHL who I think the NHL is, they're having supposedly having a pride night. Each team is having a pride night, or it's going to be one. I'm not a hockey fan per se, you know, so I couldn't tell you. But they were supposed to be wearing pride jerseys, you know, with the rainbow on them, and two brothers refused to do it. You know, you got to pick and choose your battles, and I think at some point in time, where a lot of these kids grow up, for lack of a better term, I think they're gonna kind of regret. You know, I look at someone, even talented people. I look at someone like what's her name? I look at Miley, and I'm like, I know one Miley song. I'm proud of that actually, only because it reminds me of a Meatloaf song. Very strange, but anyway. Like she's not going to grow up someday and like have kids and kind of be like, you know, there's a difference between, you know, being proud and sticking up for what's right and sticking up for what is something that is forcing people into a situation. You know, just like I was saying, the whole point, you don't want to be forced by the government to take a vax shot, but I don't want to be forced by the gay, whatever LGBT. I don't know. What are the letters are on the end of it this week? I was following that story from Roosevelt High School, I think it was. That was Project Veritas had gotten the recordings of the pastor, as far as helping minors or advocating for minors in a situation where they obviously apparently weren't happy with their gender. See, that's the thing. This is what I have to wonder. It's like, how many kids just aren't unhappy? They're just unhappy. They're just unhappy kids. It doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Whether they're male or female, there are only two genders, by the way. Whether they're male or whether they're female, if they're unhappy, you know, for some reason they might getting in their heads that, well, maybe if they were a different gender, they'd be happier. That's not the same as gender dysphoria. That's the assumption that the grass is greener on the other side, which is insane because you're not actually going to the other side. You're just, you know, it's no, no. At the school board, because I believe the pastor's group was a third party. It wasn't part of the school's you know, of the school's curriculum or anything. Extracurricular, none of that stuff. It was just a third party group that was involved with kids on campus. They've been banned from the campus. Unfortunately, there's an outspoken Proud Boy, aren't they all, in Long Island, I believe, who is a little bit outspoken, and he might have made some threats in a public forum, which is probably not a right thing for him to do. And I think he showed up outside the pastor's house too, you know, and made a scene, man. So, you know, I don't, you know, if he has a kid in the school district, then fuck it. He's entirely within his rights, not for nothing. But you know, that being said, I think that there's oftentimes there's just a lot of outside pressure, for this, you know, this quote unquote agenda for this, liberal, progressive, whatever you want to call it, agenda that includes, you know, the LGBT community, LGBTQ. I made myself laugh. Oh, geez. Okay. You know what? It's a good thing I can't fire myself. Well, that being said, let's get back to it. I got a little off track there. I apologize. But, you know, this show, by far and large, for those on Rumble who don't know, obviously my regular audience is fully aware. It's very much stream of consciousness, so I never quite know where I'm going to wind up. I try not to get too far offhand. Ugh, Dr. Pepper. Oof. Good stuff. Hang on for a sec. Oh, yeah. Hell, a lot of people in Waco, Texas. I mean, like, hell, a lot of people. Whenever I take a Dr. Pepper, I think of Texas. Oh, well. I just think that, you know, any sort of agenda that requires public to be coerced one way or another is a problem. You know, we're being, again, deprived of choice. And I think that reduces our freedom in that regard. You know, not for nothing, this is really funny. I never liked Russell Brand for years and years and years. I know he's English, but I'm not saying this from a racial perspective, or perhaps I am, but he always struck me as a bit swarthy. You know, I don't know what's going on there with his background. I've looked him up on Wikipedia, because if it weren't there, where would it be, right? And his mother's English. He was born in England, but I don't know much about his dad. I'm thinking maybe Arab or Palestinian or something. He seems to be, I don't really know. But I never really dug the guy. He just seemed like obnoxious to me. He just never clicked with me. And, you know, since COVID, since the epidemic, apparently he's kind of reinvented himself in a very, you know, he insists on showing his chest a lot. I noticed that about him. You know, he's got the low cut. I don't know what's going on with that, you know. You know, it's very pirate like, arr, and I dig pirates. So, can you see that? All right. Anyway, one of these days I'm just going to show up with an eye patch and get it over with. I have been checking out stuff. I had Graham Hancock was on this week, and I was a big Graham Hancock from way back in the day. Loved all of the stuff. That book that he wrote on the Ark was, you know, the Ark of the Covenant was, you know, about where it may be, was really great. And I think he did Fingerprints of the Gods, not Chariots of the Gods, because I was having this conversation. That was von Echtelberg, von Usher, the dude with the blue jacket, you know, ancient alien guy. But Fingerprints of the Gods, I think, was Hancock. And I read a couple other books by Hancock. This goes back 20 years ago. You know what I mean? He was on, and it was a really interesting conversation. That's all I can say. It's a really, 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 really interesting conversation between the two of them. You can tell there was genuine affection between the two of them, which is really kind of interesting as well. But so I did a little reading on Brandon. He's bipolar. I can relate to that, obviously. I opted, you know, it's hard to treat the depression and the mania at the same time. It's a difficult thing to do. Mood stabilizers only go so far, you know. So I opted, when I got treatment, to focus on the mania, because if I didn't do something about my mania, I was going to burn out by the time I was 55. And when I say burn out, I mean burst into fucking flames. That's it, done. I didn't want that. So my cocktail focuses more on my mania than it does on my depression. And I deal with my depression on the daily. I have meds for it, but it's rougher. It can't get both of them at the same time. You know, you can have the best of all worlds. No, it's not true. He apparently, whatever he's doing for drugs, and I hope he is on drugs, pharmaceuticals, or some other way of dealing with it, perhaps better than pharmaceuticals. You know, weed always helped me a lot. He's fast. I mean, he doesn't come up for air at all. I mean, I'm sitting there, and I used to be like really intense. You can ask people, you used to know me, you can power a small city off of me. I was super intense, you know, and that drew people to me. People always kind of like that, you know, and I liked it too. Like, I miss it. I miss that aspect of my personality. I mean, it's still there, but it's muted. Everything's kind of muted. That's the word. But Brand is, like I said, he's reinvented himself. So I'm very impressed with him, and he's just so fast. I mean, I was just smiling, and I'm smiling, and it's just he just riffs. I just love that riffing. It's just whoosh, 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 whoosh. So he's gotten added to my daily watch, as far as what I watch on a daily basis. I mean, it's hard. There's so much media out there. You got to like kind of pick and choose, you know. So luckily, I've had plenty of people be able to turn me on to good media. The Connecticut Bureau, of course, you know, and I have friends who go back farther than that who have been able to turn me on to stuff over the years. And, you know, I'm certainly grateful for that, because there's so much out there. I mean, there's so much out. It's just crazy. And that's what I say all the time. You know, anybody who takes the time to listen, watch the show, whatever they, I guess, watch these days. I'm very pleased, because there's, you know, and grateful, because there's so much media out there. It's absolutely nuts. You know, I got to say, I kind of keep looking up at this freaking camera right now, and I got to lean in to hit the mic, you know, because my mic stand is sitting on the desk, and the mic stand I want, I could get another mic stand that would probably help the situation, and I could bring it out here a little bit, so I wouldn't have to come in to work it, you know, but the mic stand that I want is $400. with the base. Now my mic is $650, so I mean, you know, you gotta, yeah. I'm thinking about buying it. That might be part of the bipolar, where they talk about like spending and whatnot, but you know, because it would really help me. That's all I'm gonna say. It would really help. It's not just like, oh, I don't know. It's the one that, if you've ever seen, it's the one that Brand is using, and it's the one that Joe Rogan used. And I don't want to use it because they're using it. I want to use it because it's low profile, so it comes out, so you could still see me, because I want you to see my pretty face as I'm talking. You know, like, I don't want to be, you know. So I obviously have to look into the camera more, I understand. But still, so there's a possibility I may wind up pulling that thing off in the next couple of months. It's a two-month purchase for me. I can't shoot that kind of money at one time, but I could probably save a little money. And possibly maybe pull that off between, you know, if anybody, April's my birthday. So if anybody wants to, is thinking of buying me a birthday present, you know, OC White, Ultra, I forget the model number, but I think it's the Ultra and not the Ultimate, because the Ultimate's different. This one's low profile, so just swings out like this. We spent the day trying to figure out what it was, because it was only, things move so fast, you know, when you're watching someone, and it's hard to get, you know, even freezing it, it's hard to get. And then we finally figured out what it was. It took us like half a day, And then the other half of the day, we were looking at videos on it. Both the producer and I were like, look at that. So yeah, I'd like to do that, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. Well, maybe, who knows? You know, I don't need, I gotta be honest, I'm happy with my studio. I'm pleased. I got all my audios down, stuff like that. It's like, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to have to listen to the playback and see what the story is. Yeah, toys. Guess that's what it was. We couldn't figure it out for weeks. We were like, what? Toys, what's that mean? And now when I look at myself, I'm kind of like, toys. Anyway, I'm not going to do all of this. I think you get the general idea of the kind of what this is about. Weiss, this is Twitter's secret number two, part two. Like I said, it was like 15 parts. So I might do some of this over the course of time. I'm going to keep this article because I like this breakdown of it. I like, you know, and I can do it very shortly without adding too much. I just have to remember where I was. I guess I'd have to listen to the show to recall where I was. So I'm going to put this on my desktop. Yeah, this is it. See, you're on my, there's Twitter, right? Isn't that cool? Huh? Look, I have absolute control over this. 100%. I think I can even, let me see. Okay. Let me go way over here. I'm just okay. All right, and I'm gonna
dead silence from the woke feminists. They don't care about women. Feminists don't care about women. If they cared about women, they would be speaking up on behalf of all of these women in sports who work their whole.
She's right, by the way. Just
training day in and day out to succeed in these sports and are now being beaten, blown out of the water by biological men who don't belong there. Where are the feminists on that? Agenda-driven liars. Oh, we love women. We promote women. You don't care about women. You don't care about women at all.
It might require an offset. It might require an offset. I'm not 100% sure.
Dead silence from the woke feminists. They don't care about women.
Quite that.
Feminists.
That's the problem. You can't shut them up once they start talking. Let me see if I'm just. Now I'm just playing around because I'm an idiot. Let's see. What do we got? This is tired of grays. Look at the front of this thing. We chopped this down today just for the hell of it because it was getting uncomfortable for me. So I chopped it down to, this is Van Dyke, actually. I've had these before, but look at this. Look at all this gray. There was the amount of gray that was gray hair that was in my lap when I got time done, and I was shocked. And it's like steel wool. It's like, oh, my God. No, there's a turtle. See, can I get, yeah, I can get all that open. See what happens if I go that way. Yeah. Well, this was a pretty big deal because we didn't, like I said, I'm going to close this. And now not only am I going to close it, I'm going to change scenes back to just cam. And there I am front. Let me push over here. We pick apart whenever we watch something. We pick apart production value. We pick apart what equipment they may be using, and it, even if we don't know what equipment and what capacity they may be using it, you know? And like I said, there's more than a couple of guys out there. They're a little on the raw side, but their content is awesome. I mean, it's just utterly awesome. I want a balance, you know? I figured out a long time ago, you know, people are pretty much showing up to listen to me, which is still mind-boggling, mind you. But it's true. For whatever reason, people are have been known to be interested in things that I might say. There's really no other way to put it, you know. So, you know, that being said, but still, I think you should have as much production value as possible. I you know, and as technically have yourself together, like the first 6 minutes of last week's show for a premiere on Rumble was rather disappointing for all involved. Luckily we were able to kind of rein it in, and within the first 6 to 7 minutes we had a presentable stream. I would have preferred to have had it presentable from the beginning, quite frankly. But that wasn't the case. This week, obviously, was a lot better because we learned something. That's the thing. We make mistakes and we learn something. We learn things. And a lot of this is muscle memory. I mean, you do it every week. You do it every week. You do it every week. I haven't worked video. I haven't pushed bits for video in a long time. It's 2-3 years, maybe, somewhere in that line. The last time I had a business line in this place was about 2-3 years ago. So I was glad I were able to come back with a vengeance this week and, you know, have our stuff together. I hope to, continue going forward. Like I said, I want to keep working the Twitter files, but it's not going to be every week because there's stuff coming out and I can work it in between things and whatnot. I got to, again, just now, more recently, I'm defoxing myself where I'm not relying on Fox News for my daily news. Get back into One America News and Newsmax, and making that transition into even more deeper, darker places on the internet. Citizen oriented news. Project Veritas, of course, and there's a lot of other decent sources out there. Even going back to 4chan a little bit, 4chan's news. Oh my God, right? Yeah. And, it's really interesting speaking about places I haven't been in a while. I think I'm going to start to put the show up on BitChute. I'm going to upload, of course, because BitChute doesn't do live video. And I'm more interested in pushing live video to more than one place. I'm very pleased with Rumble at the moment, even at midnight on a Saturday, which is when the show originally airs live. So I was over at BitChute to make sure my account was in good standing and whatnot. And I producer had never been over there before, So I was like, what can I show on BitChute that would be? So I put in Donald Trump time travel, and those of you, again, who know. Those of you who don't, perhaps you should put in Donald Trump time travel over there at BitChute and see what you get back. And she was astonished. She was absolutely astonished. She was like, because those new age types with the vibrational stuff and, the crystals and all that jazz, they get real excited when they hear, things like what you get when you put in, the Donald Trump time travel. It's a couple of few years old. I think it's at least the last stuff that was done on that. It was at least 2 years ago. That's when Q was still making major drops. It's interesting. It's interesting. And, it's really, just as of late, I've started to, as far as Rumble goes, I don't like to talk about what I watch on Rumble because at this point in time, I just really don't want to do that. But I can say I'm spending most of the day watching something on Rumble because, again, it just fits in the politics, just fits in with my end of the sphere, my part of the spectrum. I'm on the spectrum, if you know what I mean. And I'm very glad that Rumble's there. I feel much better fitted here than I would say YouTube, 100% true. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. I will be back next week. I hope, we've been able to amuse you in some way, shape, or form. And when I say we, I mean the royal we. I'm going to ask you to head over to lfmidwood.com. And let me see. Let me get it up. See, I got it behind me, but it's a JPEG behind me. It's not real. It's not real. Okay. So I'm going to ask you to head over to lfmidwood.com and you'll find the Midwood Files. It's the home of the Midwood Files. It's right there. Here. Up on top, you'll be able to find, there's a link to 11LRNI, which takes you over to John Lightning's site, who's the mothership these days. Head over there, and even if you're not necessarily into his politics, he is damn entertaining. Damn entertaining. If you go all the way over to the right, our good friend Brad Reed over there at Grits Radio, who Brad runs the show on his stream. I don't know why, but he does. If you head over to the right and go down, you'll find, obviously, the show links, audio and Rumble. Beyond that, you'll find the drop-down. I think they call that a radio menu for my archives going back about, 6 years now. We're going on 6 years. I think it's going on 6 years. Underneath that, you'll find Take the Red Pill. That's my social media. That's most of my social media. The other part of my social media is embedded in my links. If you drop down underneath, take the red pill, you'll find favorites. Starting with 4chan and moving in. This is where I generally, for the most part, during the course of the week, I collect most of my news. I have I'm able to collate it and put it in some sort of sense and present it to you, my audience. if you look over in the main section, you'll see that it's generally the last four shows are on the front page with some sort of witty, whimsical thing that the producer puts together. I do not do the snippets. I don't do the blurb. We call them blurbs. I don't do the blurbs. I'm not a blurb sort of guy. I'm not blurby. You know what I mean? I'm not. But you'll find those there. So, when you get your chance, head over to lfmidwood.com. And of course, there's my Rumble channel. If you just search the Midwood Files over at Rumble, you'll find, considering this is the second show, you'll find two files. There will be more. There's more coming. Anyway, let me close this. Again, I thank you all. And let me see. I'm going to do this because I have a pattern that I like to do. Where is it? I can't see anything because I'm not wearing my glasses. There it is. Thank you for watching the Midwood Files. Now I have to bring the other thing up. Yeah. Okay. We'll be back next week. Thanks, y'all. Oh, yeah. And well, what is it? Talk to you later, buckaroos.
LF Midwood on the 11L Network.
We have reached the end of this program. Please return your host to the full upright position.
Stay tasteless and offensive. Gotta get going. Love your vibe for now.